So good to see everyone in the house of the Lord today. What a beautiful day it is, right?
Yes.
You know, if it was like this year round, I think sometimes it would be there'd be 600 trillion people that lived here because it's like paradise. What a beautiful day the Lord has made. He gave us some rain this week, and we were thankful for that. But it's so good to see everyone this morning as we foster a spirit of love amongst us. Jim will be bringing the message today. He'll truly bless us. And you're going to have a mixture of music with Maestro on the organ over here. He's beginning to be very good. And I'll be doing some double duties today. Triple duties, really. So thankful. And so glad that you're here. As we prepare our hearts for worship, it's so important. One of the most important things we can do as a congregation is to turn our hearts to Jesus and focus our eyes upon Him. Our whole purpose of being here today is to foster His presence among us. Because His presence does amazing things, whether it's in our individual lives or in our corporate worship together. So I want you to sing along with me. Normally I don't like standing up here, but as soon as I finish, I've got to start again. Please sing with me.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely presence of the Lord is in this place.
One more time.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Lord, may Your presence come today and minister to our hearts and make us whole. Through Your word today, through the songs that we sing, through the message that Jim will bring us, let it be something special today. So that when we leave this place, we can say with confidence and with expectation of what You'll do this coming week because of Your presence among us today. Let it be fostered. You are welcome here. And for that we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. May the God of all grace surround us this morning as we magnify the Lord as His body. And so we will stand and sing our call to worship. The candles aren't lit this morning. Oh my. It doesn't matter. I'm just being funny. It's nice when they are, but if they're not, the Lord will still come and visit. How about they be lit while we sing our call to worship? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Let us stand and sing our call to worship. It'll be the first verse of Fairest Lord Jesus. It's page 189. hymn of praise today is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I believe it's on the screen. Is that right, Becky? What a Friend We Have in Jesus as we sing together. Gather today as God's people, we always approach the Lord with praises and thanksgivings upon our lips. So much to be thankful for, and how God has moved in our lives this week, or what we may have witnessed the Lord do. And we overcome not only by the blood of the Lamb, but the word of our testimony. And our testimony is that important. Who has something today they would like to share to give God glory today? Yes, Anna.
Butch seems to be doing better today.
Well, we're thankful for that. Praise the Lord. So, so thankful for that.
Your mom's sitting in church.
Yeah, yeah. Two Sundays in a row. That's right. That's amazing, too. They tell her she's, 2 weeks ahead? So we're just going to praise the Lord for that today. Yeah. Means you'd have to come back early. Mike is loving that extra hamburger money, though, that he's earning all the time. That's what my grandpa used to call it.
I have a praise, by the way. I'm very thankful for. Tomorrow is Brenda's birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Brenda. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. Yes?
Tomorrow, 45 years ago, I had my second chemotherapy treatment.
45 years ago. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else to give God glory today? See, I know Justin's got a good one. He's saving up for it.
We had a good trip. We had a significant breakdown on the way home. But God covered us with His grace and made the fix last the last 300 miles.
What a miracle. Be in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, well, it was Greenville.
Hand tools. Yeah.
We broke down in Greenville.
And know it, the Lord just showed you what part to change, and you did it and made it home. What a great story. Yeah, I love it. Praise the Lord. Yes, Mary, thank you. I'm sorry.
I had a visit with my second visit with the oncologist last week, and he said I could consider myself cancer free. Yes. That should be my
Praise the Lord. How amazing is that? Oh, man, that's good stuff. Who else has something they'd like to share to give God glory today? Yes, ma'am, Miss Arlene.
My husband, Ray, went back to the heart doctor the other day. And they gave him a good checkup. 2011, he almost died. He had a heart attack. And they said he's doing great. So I really praise the Lord for letting him be here all this time.
Praise the Lord, yes. Anyone else? Prayer concerns? Oh, Eric?
Oh, great. He had a good surgery Monday. It wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be when they got into his shoulder. And he's had a pretty good recovery.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. If I say anyone else and I wait about 7 seconds, somebody will say something. And that's okay. We can stand here all day and do that. It's so important. Yes, ma'am.
I take my messages this morning before I got out of the car to come to church. And I had a friend message me on the way to church. And she just turned 50. And she said she gave herself until she turned 50 to stop smoking. So she asked, would I pray for her? And she said, would you ask the church to pray for her to stop smoking?
So we take it that we'll definitely, as we come to the Lord in prayer, we will pray for your friend and that she has the strength. The Lord will give her grace for that.
I told her, I texted her back and I told her he would.
He might stretch her a little bit, but it truly rests in knowing the grace of God will help her. Someone at the back had their hand up. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we pray for Hadley Walford today.
She's my niece.
Yes.
So she has seizures, but they're getting worse.
Who else is on your heart today? Yes, Jim.
We need to pray for the situation in the Middle East.
Yes, it's very sad. There's no doubt. It's not good. Yes. Yes, sir, young man.
Pray for my papa. He had a couple weeks ago. He had an eating tube that popped out, and he had to get it re-put in. So just pray for him.
Yes, praying for your papa today. Yes, sir, young man. Somebody help me here.
Daddy James and his mama.
Yes, praying for them today. Yes, Mandy.
Can you pray for my friend Elizabeth's dad, Charles? She's had to travel to Atlanta. They don't know whether it was seizures or a stroke, but he's having some difficulties, and so she's dealing with that. And then later on this week, I'm traveling to Florida for a conference. pray for travel mercies.
Yes. Who else is on your heart today? Yes, ma'am.
This is a praise and a prayer request also. We were talking about quitting smoking and stuff. I've been smoking for 50 years. 50 years. And this is, yeah, this is a personal thing of mine, and not throwing any kind of judgment towards anybody else. But I have tried and tried to quit. Tried and tried. And this time, 2 weeks ago, I turned it over to the Lord. And I have been on Chantix. I have been on Wellbutrin. I have been on every drug that there is, except my drug, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I have not smoked, not one.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And that is, it's
addiction is a difficult thing. Huh?
Yeah.
Someone else.
Not with Jesus, that's right.
That's right, that's right. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure of the little girl's name, but she's a middle school student at Fair Forest Middle School. Last week she fell and hit her face going down the hill on concrete. Took her to regional, they immediately went to the center of Greenville, and they have sent her to Charleston now. But that's the extent of what I know. I don't know anything else other than that.
Yes. Anyone else? Yes, Jessica.
The Cooper family, there's a vendor that I have done many, many markets with Cooper that died family. At our market last Saturday. They believe a heart attack. Mm. And she's got a son that has special needs. And so just pray for the Cooper family and in particular her son.
Yeah. Cooper family. Yes, anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, because we know that prayer is such serious business, such beautiful business, but yet so simple, we take a deep breath at this very moment to clear our minds of the whirlwind of the week or what may be going on in the background of our life, so that we can focus upon you today. We have so much to be thankful for. As we know what is going on around the world in so many different places, we realize the havoc the prince of the air has amongst this earth. But yet, we see in our lives and discern a hedge of protection around us so many times. Where you provide for us. You heard the praises of your people today. What an amazing thing to say that I'm cancer free, or he's still alive after all these years. Where you've given me decades of my life when it seemed all lost. What can we say other than for all for your glory, Lord, for how you have worked all these things out so that you may be glorified, and we thank you today. We thank you when miracles happen on the road. When miracles happen, encounters with others. We thank you for your Spirit. Today, Lord, you heard all of those names and circumstances. And I know that you know every detail, but you delight in for us to bring those to you. Whether it be those who need physical healing, who need emotional healing, who are struggling with some form of addiction, Lord. Whether it be that we ask you to be with us when we travel. Hear all of the names that were spoken, Lord, the families that are grieving, the sickness, We lift them up to you now in Jesus' name. Asking you, Lord, would you wrap your loving arms around every situation and circumstance? We pray for healing. We say, be healed. May those that are grieving find you, Lord, because your word says that you are always close to the brokenhearted. Hear our cries today, Lord. Open our hearts for a message that we all need. Help us to work out these things to where we can say, what a friend we do have in Jesus. That we mean those words. That we lay our griefs, our sorrows, our pain at His feet and give Him glory, for He is truly the King of the universe. Be with us in this service, Lord. May your holy hand touch us. And may you be blessed. May your name be praised. As we recite together this model prayer that you have taught us, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Your announcements are in the bulletin today. If you do not have a bulletin, get one before you leave. And you can see also through our newsletter. If you're not receiving our newsletter weekly, please see Becky or get your email to her. And so you can keep up with the things that go on throughout the week. Today is a special day. We'll be going to the Rosewood Assisted Living Facility in Pauline. I want to thank those that have brought snacks and gifts and things. Please come. It is a blessed time. Unfortunately, my heart was broken. I thought I was going to miss it, but I'm not going to miss all of it. I'm going to come at least for a little while before I have to be in Clemson this evening. And so I'm so glad to be there. Such a blessed time. We'll meet there a little before 3 for a couple of hours of bingo and fellowship. Also, all the typical stuff during the week will be happening. The Bible study on Tuesday, the time of prayer on Thursday. Sunday, October 22nd, a week from today, will be administrative council meeting at 6. And then I see October 29th, we'll have a fifth Sunday lunch. I'm assuming people, was there a sign-up sheet for it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Fifth Sunday lunch. And then at 6:30, very important, our first charge conference as a global Methodist congregation. And I have been told and encouraged that this is not going to be like your typical charge conference, which was like treading through concrete. And honestly, I can't think of all the ones I've been through. There have been very few times I really felt the Lord in it. It just seemed like a board meeting for Walmart. And it was... I don't know. Maybe I'm being too judgmental, but that's how I saw it. But I understand that this is going to be different. I would encourage you to come and be a part to see the message that our upstate elder is going to bring. It'd be some worship, a short message, and just a little bit of business. And you got to love that. And so please be mindful of that. Your basic training for teachers is still continuing on Mondays. And I cannot believe I just read all of that out of the bulletin. I'll never understand that as long as I live. But anyway, you got the gist of it. Any new announcements? I guess I should have asked that right up front. Yes, ma'am.
So last week I spoke about the Walnut Grove Methodist Church Love Your Neighbor Connections Ministry. It's got a long title. But it's through the outreach committee, and we've created a Facebook private group, and hopefully it will, it's working. I can test it a little bit. So I'll be sending, I'm going through the bulletin, and if you're on Facebook, I'm going to send you an invite. You accept it if you want to. You don't, you know, if you don't want to, that's fine. If you are not on social media, there are forms that you can fill out and place in the offering plate that can get routed back to me or Jessica. And it talks about needs that you might need in your personal life, that maybe there's someone within our church that can help you with that. So there's on one side is for those that want to contribute just their resources as far as if they can, I don't know. There's all kinds of examples here. Tree, saw work, yard work, animal care, cooking, cleaning, different things. So as things come up in our lives, we can help each other. And then the other one is again, if you have a need. So I'll put them, the forms on the piano here, but then expect an invite too if you're in our church.
I would encourage you that if this stirs your heart, to please see Becky after church. Maybe ask Jessica, those that are spearheading this, any details or questions. That way after church, you're able to discuss anything that maybe you thought you could contribute to such a worthy ministry. Any other new announcements? Yes, ma'am.
Like for the daycare council to meet Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the Life Center. Those who are members of the daycare council.
6 p.m. on Wednesday for the daycare. Anything else? Is someone reading the gospel message this morning? That's why I asked that question, because when I'll get my Bible. Mandy, would you like
to do it?
Well, sure, Mandy, that would be great. You see it in the bulletin, John 11, 32 through 36. Okay, at this moment, let's gather our tithes and our offerings for the Lord. The ushers will come forward. Lord, you heard all these things from our mouths. We give you praise and thanksgiving. You heard the cries of our hearts. And in honor of your love towards us, because, yes, you have commanded us to do such, we bring our tithes to you, and we lay them upon your altar. And we pray, Lord, that these little bitty tithes and these little bitty plates in this little bitty place, you big things, that it bless your kingdom wide open, that it pleases you, that it blesses you, that it advances your word. But that is what it's for, Lord, and we thank you. Bless it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
us stand for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 11, verses 32 through 36. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" The first word, the last word, the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Read one too many verses, sorry.
Oh, it's fine. Let us present our offering. Still coming. Maybe. May our attention turn to Jim's message today. It's just something that we need. May you receive what the Lord has for you today in this message. Jim?
Question I want to ask the several of us to comment about flying. How many of you have ever flown an aircraft?
Once. In the last.
How many of you plan never to fly? Oh, wow. Almost 50%. That's okay. Kathy Ann and I are going to go to Charlotte Wednesday and get on American Airlines and fly out to Sonoma, Arizona and begin a 10-day coach tour back to North Carolina, seeing some great sights. We haven't done anything like this ever. So it's the first time. I have flown a lot early in my ministry, twice around the world during mission trips to the Philippines, so I've logged a lot of miles on aircraft, a lot more comfortable. She is not. And probably I sense some of you too have had some. Anybody have flown? I had some fears when you fly? Be honest. You know, it's like checking in, right now that's a real moment of what am I doing? Am I doing it right? And they check my bags, are they going to find something? Did I leave all my weapons at home? You know? And then that takeoff, that is an adrenaline rush like nothing. And when they land, that is a white knuckle event. And you never know in this day and time who's on the airplane. And then you factor in COVID. I wonder how many people we're going to see with their right to wear a mask will wear a mask on this flight. So here's a story to try to help calm Kathy down. There was a private aircraft flight to a destination, and on the aircraft were four people. There was a heart surgeon, there was a rocket scientist, there was a minister, and there was a Boy Scout in uniform. Well, the flight went fine for a long time, and suddenly the plane began to lose altitude. It got rough. The pilot came on the intercom and said to the four passengers, "I'm sorry, we've got some really tough, I have a really tough thing to tell you. We are not going to make it to our destination. In fact, I'm going to try to take this plane down. It's going to crash." He said, "Now, the good news is I've got some parachutes in the back. The bad news is I have only three. So you four are going to have to make up your mind who gets the parachute." Well, there was a dead silence. Finally, the heart surgeon stood up and said, "I got to live. I got heart patients waiting on my expertise in surgery to give them a chance to live. I need to live." He put on a parachute and jumped. There was a dead silence, and suddenly the rocket scientist got to take it. "I'm a very famous scientist. We have a famous program going right now, very important. Very priority to invent a new rocket ship, and I'm on that team. I got to live." He strapped on a parachute and jumped. The minister looked at the Boy Scout and said, "Son," he said, "I've lived a long life. I've served the Lord faithfully. I've done everything He's asked me to do." He said, if today is my day to die, I'm prepared and ready to go. You're just a young man. You got your whole future out in front of you. So you get the parachute." Boy Scout looked at him and smiled and said, "Preacher, don't worry. There are two parachutes back there." He said, "How do you know that?" He said, "I saw the rocket scientist strap on my backpack." So, Kathy, you got my parachute. I'm going to preach today on a tough topic: grief. We just read a story about Lazarus, a great friend of Jesus who died in response of grief from his own family. Now, let's look at a passage where Jesus himself had to deal with impending grief. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 and 45. I'm going to read it from the screen. "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to grieve and agitate. Then he said to them, 'I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me.' And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want.' Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again he went away for the second time and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See.'" And I often wonder, what did Jesus see? I think he saw Judas and his accusers coming. "The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Let us pray. Lord, let your spirit be upon myself and this congregation as we talk about a tough subject. May we see in your Son a model of how to cope with our own grief and pain and loss. Speak to each heart in these moments, because grief is in the room. And we ask your Holy Spirit to start healing, providing a process of healing for all of us who suffer losses. In the name of Jesus, amen. What does a beautiful garden and a golf course have in common with grief? I want you to listen closely because you will discover the answer. All of us suffer losses in life. Sometimes it's the death of a loved one, a child, a friend, a relative, a co-worker. I had two significant losses in the early part of my ministry. In 1980, I lost my first wife to melanoma cancer. She was 32 years old. Wow. 5 years later, I lost my son, Jay, to congenital heart difficulties. He was 14 years old. In 5 years, my world turned upside down. My family and I were devastated with grief and sorrow. Now, I want to pause for a moment. Can you imagine the deep grief and sorrow of the people of Israel and Palestine are experiencing as we worship? Sometimes our losses are relational. Divorce, children leaving home, retirement. Other losses are financial, business or community losses. Sometimes our losses are personal, self-esteem, physical disabilities, loss of confidence. Sometimes our losses are spiritual. We lose our faith in life. We sometimes lose our community of faith. And we lose our hope for the future. We live with losses. And our response to the loss is this word we don't like to talk about, but it's there, grief. Grief is our physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual response to any significant loss we have in our life. We cannot avoid it. It sticks to us like peanut butter in the roof of your mouth. We experience shock, numbness, confusion, anger, guilt, physical and emotional pain. And we ask lots of questions. Why? Why did God let this happen? What am I going to do now? What if I had done this? Maybe they would have lived. I heard that so much when I was a hospice chaplain. Today I want to talk about how we can cope with the death of a loved one, a family member or a friend. And our role model today, believe it or not, is the Son of God, Jesus. In the days prior to his death, Jesus had the opportunity to grieve his impending death. In the world of grief counseling, we call that anticipatory grief. In other words, we feel all the pain and sorrow of grief in advance of the actual death. And that does happen. And for some of you who've had to deal with someone terminal that died over a period of time, you grieved before they died. How did Jesus have his grief? How did he cope? First, he found a place to grieve. This is really important. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. For many, a garden is a place of life and growth, peace and tranquility. But for Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane was a spiritual retreat. He'd been there many times to pray and commune with his Father. It was a comfortable place. It was a quiet place. It was a place of rest. Everyone needs a quiet, comfortable place to share the deepest hurts and pains of their life. And let me say this after being a grief counselor for many years. Yes, we need to help each other during our grief. There's a certain part of grief that only you can handle. It's your job. Do you have a place? I'm asking you, do you have a place right now that you can say in your heart, that's where I go when I am so troubled, when the losses are so heavy in my life? When my wife died in 1980, I was appointed to the Gilbert Charge in Lexington County. I had two children, Justin and Jay. My people were so great, they understood what I was going through, but I was in deep grief. And there were times in my life when I needed a place to go to fight and deal with all this pain I was experiencing. And guess what that place was? Lexington County Golf Course. Several times during the school week, I would take my kids to school, I'd grab my golf clubs, and I'd get out to the golf course. And I intentionally walked and played alone. I'm competitive, but the good score was not the object. All I wanted to do was to hit a golf ball hard and often. And as I did, I let all that pain and sorrow and anger and frustration and confusion and disappointments. I felt inadequate as a single parent. I missed the marriage relationship. I felt like my church members were looking at me, watching me like a hawk, waiting for me to fall apart. I swung, and I swung, and I swung. And at the end of the day, I walked off that golf course tired, empty, and drained. But God began to heal my grief. I play golf today, but not for the same reason most golfers play. Secondly, Jesus did not grieve alone. Remember that plastic sign that you see, some of you will be traveling, I'm sure we're going to see it, that plastic sign on the door of motel rooms, do not disturb. Tragically, we hang that sign on our hearts when we grieve. We try to grieve alone, undisturbed. You will not do it that way. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was not alone. First of all, His Heavenly Father was with Him. He agonized the pain of what He was about to do with His Father. He had this intimate spiritual conversation with His Father. Jesus was not alone in the garden. David, the great psalmist, said this in the 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou," what? But Jesus also took some of His disciples with Him to the garden that night. And they had no clue what was going on. In fact, they fell asleep. And Jesus three times stole them. A spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can you not just stay awake for 1 hour? But they were there. And that's all Jesus needed of them, really, for them to be there. And I say this to those of you who offer care to those who have significant loss in their life. They don't need your advice. They sometimes don't need your words. They just need you to be there. And maybe say to them, "What can I do to help?" When we grieve, we feel like no one understands our pain. Therefore, we lock people out of our hearts and convince ourselves that we can handle the pain. That doesn't work. Grief is too strong and overwhelming for one person. We need help. There were times in Gilbert when I needed to talk about my pain and grief. I needed someone to listen to my sorrow. Thank God for Phil and Francis Price. Their family was a member of my little church at Gilbert. They owned a feed store close to the parsonage. And sometimes after I take the kids to school, I would just go to the feed store. The minute I walked into the door, Francis Price would tear up. And I would tear up. Years later, I realized she was shedding my tears. And they were great listeners. They didn't say a word. I felt so free that out of my troubled, painful heart, I began to share the pain that I was experiencing. And they did nothing other than just listen to me. And every time I went to that beach door, Frances teared up. She cried the tears that I couldn't cry for me. And I learned to share my tears with Frances Price. I always knew in the most troubling time of my life that Phil and Frances were there for me. And you need somebody like that when you're troubled and you're grieving. Thirdly, Jesus felt and he expressed his grief. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke's version says that Jesus fell to the ground, overwhelmed with sorrow. The literal translation is this: he was staggered, falling, getting up, and falling again. He said to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." That's how painful it was for Christ. But sadly, most of us are not honest with our grief, and we rationalize, "I'm okay. I'm in control." Boys, don't cry. Or tomorrow will be a better day. And as a result, we stuff all that raw emotion deep inside of our hearts, and we convince ourselves that we're okay. However, grief always needs an outlet. Suppress it and it will eat your life. God designed us to let go of our grief, not stuff it. And Jesus, the model, grieved openly. In the gospel reading, he wept publicly over the death of Jesus. And there's a difference between weeping and crying. Weeping is deep, painful, heartfelt emotion. He wept when he once saw the city of Jerusalem before he went there to die. He realized that was his place of death. And he realized Jerusalem was not the holy city that it once was. He grieved. And there in the garden, he grieved his own death. I know this congregation has been hit hard with recent deaths of church members and family members and friends. We've all lost family and friends due to COVID. Some of you today are experiencing deep sorrow and grief as we sit here. And sadly, you cannot wave a magic wand or pray it away. But you can, like Jesus, cope with it. How did he? He found a safe place. He sought out friends and his heavenly Father to grieve together. And he was able to express the deepest pain that any of us humans, including the Son of God, can experience: grief. Are you grieving today? Won't you look around? You're in a safe place. You're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're surrounded by Christian friends who love you. Maybe you need to open your heart to the power of the Holy Spirit to begin a healing, or continue the process of healing your heart. Grief takes time. There's no clock on grief. Not everybody grieves alike. We all grieve differently because we're different people. It takes time. There are times in my life, 30, 40 years past those experiences where it hurts. But God knows how to heal. And he can take terrible memories, hear me, and turn them into the old him, precious memories. And that's the goal in life, is to get to the point where the memories become precious, not painful. So I want to ask you to do something as you all prepare to sing and lead us in a time of prayer. I'm not going to ask you to say who is reading the most or something point. We all have losses in life. But what I want you to do as a congregation today, so that everybody knows that we care about each other, is to be in touch with the people next to you. You want to hold hands, that's fine. You want to touch their shoulder. Don't anybody be isolated. If you need to get close to somebody in the congregation, they say you can touch each other. Take a moment, rush down, let's get together. Just find somebody, hold hands, if that's comfortable, don't touch, shoulder, but get near people where you can touch. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to offer prayer. And if you need to come to this altar, I'm going to be here to pray with you. Mass given to the people to come to if you need to pray for some folks. But your altar is right there where you touch hands with people. Just pour out your heart and ask the Lord to heal the sorrow, the pain, the grief that you are experiencing. Let's bow our heads. Lord, your spirit is upon us right now. I pray, Father, that you reach out with your comfort and compassion and wrap your loving arms to heal the hearts of those here today that grieve. All of us carry grief. We have losses that go way back that happened this week. Begin to heal our hearts as we touch and care for one another. Now, Spirit, move among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Let the healing begin.
Thank you.
We're going to stand and sing our last hymn. Oh, yeah, in the dark. I hope this hymn will be different for you today as you sing. Let's stand and sing in the dark. Hope, for one day you will turn the corner and painful memories will become precious memories. The road looks sunny instead of dark. There's a rainbow at the end of the road, the promise of hope that you will survive this deep, dark journey of grief. The Son of God had experienced everything you are experiencing right now. And he went through the deepest valley of death on the cross. But what happened 3 days later?
He rose again.
And you will arise in your spirit. And grief will be behind you. You will be scarred forever. Trust me. But you will never be in the pain of it forever in your life. So walk out of there with your head held high. And don't forget the people that you touch. Because they're going through the same thing you did. Now may the grace and power of the Holy Spirit be upon you. Heal your broken heart. Heal your grief. And I say to those who have talked about addiction today, Holy Spirit, release them from the pain and the addiction and let it be a permanent loss that they can shout about. We go now triumphant in the risen Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go. Amen.